And as you are seated, I'd ask you to turn to Psalm 31. We continue in the Psalms, the songbook in the Scripture, 150 of them. And, you know, as a minister, I prefer going, and again, I've chosen to preach the Psalms right now, and I'm going to do this, Lord willing, up to the point of our missions conference at the end of February, and then start something new again, Lord willing. But the good thing about preaching this through a text or a book or something is you know what's coming next. Y'all know what's coming. I know what's coming. And I have to deal with each text, even difficult ones. But with these Psalms, I'm not going to go through the Psalms 150 in a row, because I don't think that'd be the best use of my time with you on Sunday morning. So I have to choose which Psalms I'm going to touch on. And so I've chosen to try to hit Psalms that take us to different emotions, different needs, different circumstances. So today we come to one, Psalm 31, and I'll mention in just a little bit why this is one that's particularly meaningful to me. I doubt this is one that is on your ones that, unless something in it has struck you in the past, it is maybe one of the ones you return to often, aside from our regular reading through them. This is a little bit longer than the ones of late. So if you would give your attention, this is God's Word, Psalm 31. To the choir master, a psalm of David. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and work for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me. When I was in a besieged city, I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who fear the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Praise be to God. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we pray now as we just think on a few selected parts of this psalm. We pray that you would write it upon our hearts, and we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation in each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The psalms offer help and hope and a way to relate to any situation that we are in. Some of them, we understand the direct, immediate circumstance that inspired them to be written. Others, we don't. I think that the one thing about the Psalms that is extremely helpful to them is that we can all pray them, we can all sing them, and it doesn't matter what the exact circumstance was. They are an opportunity for us to engage, to pray, to lay things before the Lord honestly, to deal with our emotions honestly, to deal with any circumstance. And there is a sense in which, in terms of today's psalm in particular, I believe it'll have something for each of us. Although this one isn't a particular lament, it has some of that lament language in it. And in a sense, it does have a portion of it that's a lament. I do think the middle portion probably is a lament. And do you know that of the 150 Psalms, over 50 of them are laments or have a portion of a lament, meaning that in this fallen world, there's reasons that we need to be able to go to God with troubles. I had thought about going to Psalm 88 today, and I may in the future, but Psalm 88 is one of those most difficult of psalms in that it really doesn't come to a positive conclusion other than the fact that the psalmist is still praying. But this one still allows us to go into the depths together if we need to, or to meet each other in the depths and to find that God has forged a way out. I'm setting it up. There's different ways that we could organize this psalm. I'm setting it up there in your bulletin. You can see as a way of thinking of it, the first eight verses as deliverance, and I say from the past, and I don't mean deliverance from what's happened in the past, but I use the word from there, meaning deliverance from things that happen, in the past, being able to look back at deliverances that have gone by, that where God has dealt with us graciously in the past, and we can look back on it. Then we have a longer section that I'm just going to kind of go touch on different things, of various prayers for the present, where I do think each of us will find something that we can relate to. And then finally, hope for the future, where it turns to a bit of exhortation to each of us. Now, when I... Just an introduction as to why I chose this. When this psalm first hit me, I was reading it from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which has now been replaced by the Christian Standard Bible. But this is one in the early 2000s, Holman Publishers, which now is it would be if you ordered Lifeway resources or went to a Baptist church who uses Lifeway, and we could, of course, use different Lifeway resources as well. It's the Christian Standard Bible is now, in a sense, replacing the NIV in their mindset is what you'll find in the published text in a Lifeway resource. But before they had revised their first edition called the Holman Christian Standard, it's now the Christian Standard. Psalm 31, 9 and 10 reads like this, again in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. This is 31, 9 and 10. Be gracious to me, Lord, because I am in distress. My eyes are worn out from angry sorrow. My whole being as well. Indeed, my life is consumed with grief and my years with groaning. My strength has failed me because of my sinfulness, and my bones waste away. I read those words. We were at the beach one summer at a place where we often go, a Laguna Beach Christian Retreat, where we actually just went for a few days during the end of December. And I don't know about y'all, but we have, family life has its challenges. And we go on vacation, oftentimes hoping to escape some of those challenges. But, you know, the fact is they usually follow us, which is kind of why we need vacation, so that we can then have a place away from home to maybe deal with them. But I just remember I was definitely feeling in distress, and I think this must have been part of my regular reading. And when I read those words, my eyes are worn out from angry sorrow. And again, in the Christian standard, in the revision of this, they changed that. They soften it up a little bit in the English. But that really struck me, angry sorrow. That we have that, and that those two words can be used together describing our worn out from angry sorrow. And so from then on, this has been meaningful to me. I've never preached on it until today. But I titled the sermon Stress. Then I put a little parenthesis, can you relate? I think we can. David wrote this from a point of stress. And unfortunately, I think stress almost becomes a cliche in our day, just because we do live in a very busy day. And we now have, with technology, so many other things that can really bring more stress. But stress is real. And this isn't going to be necessarily a topical sermon on stress, but stress is real. And I hope that this will help us in our various ways, whatever stresses you may face, whether they're more lighter stresses or heavier and deeper stresses. Stress. Now, the first way that we can deal with this is by looking back and realizing that God has helped us in the past and He'll help us in the present. And so, I'm considering this in the first eight verses. I just would have you just look, for example, at verse 3. You are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. We can say that truly. We're safe in God's hands. I believe we've already said in our somewhere in here today, under the shelter of His wings, or it may have even been in a hymn. I think it was in a hymn. We're safe under the shelter of His wings. In verse 7 here in this first section, I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love because you have seen my affliction. You've known the distress of my soul, and you've not delivered me into the hand of my enemy, but you've put me in a broad place. We're looking back at the past and saying, I can trust you now, Lord, because I've seen what you've done in the past. And sometimes that's what it takes. To get through the present, we have to look at the past. And that's really what much of the Old Testament is God's people looking back at the acts of God and what He's done. Think about how often in the Psalms, for example, they're just reminded of the deliverance from Egypt. Now, I say that just, and that's a foolish thing to say, just reminded of just that deliverance from Egypt. Again, we're Christians, and many of us have been brought up reading this over and over, and we take it for granted how miraculous and amazing it was. God's people were slaves, and Jesus led them out. Jesus was there by His Spirit, but the Lord led them out through dry land as the waters pushed aside and made a way for them, and then fell back upon Pharaoh and his army. And they really never got tired of remembering that deliverance. And that deliverance has become an analogy for our, truly in our day and in the New Covenant, our deliverance from sin. Because sin is actually worse. The bondage to sin is worse than being a slave in Egypt. But they didn't mind remembering, and that's what we can do too. And I just want to remind you, before I conclude this point, in terms of us remembering, this psalm is all over the Bible. It's really rather remarkable. Jonah prayed this prayer, sections of this prayer, from the belly of the fish. He actually discussed that about paying... I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols. And among different psalms, he prayed this psalm. Jonah did. Jeremiah had meditated on this psalm. And Jeremiah, and particularly from Jeremiah 20, which is, a remarkable place to look sometime, Jeremiah 20, where the prophet, you see the prophet go from the heights of joy to the depths of depression, where he curses the day of his birth. And he discusses being made fun of and being called terror on every side. Another part of this psalm. He went to this psalm in his day of trouble. And believe me, y'all, the prophets, they faced troubles. And it was God who brought them through them. Jesus would eventually speak this psalm as his last words. Into your hand I commit my spirit. His last words before he gave up his life for us. In Psalm 71, it starts exactly the same as this psalm, and then the psalmist goes on to deal with his particular circumstance. And then even John, in the last words of his first letter, he discusses telling them to forsake idolatry. And I just mention those examples to say the Scripture is here for all of us. It's a place to go for help today, for assurance, to find a way to go to God for our confession and forgiveness, for praise. And many of the saints before us have done the same thing. And so we praise God for his deliverances he's shown us in the past, because we need his help today. Prayers for the present. That's what 9 through 20. And in this section, there's so many, I can't cover it all. I just want to point some of them out, ways that we can pray together today. Verse 9, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm in distress. First thing we do when we're feeling the stress, feeling the pressures, we say, Lord, Lord, be gracious to me. Again, there's that part. My eyes wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. My life is spent with sorrow. Two parts here. The pressures of this life can affect us physically. And then he even mentions sin. It's not always sin. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Whatever the case, when we are when we are in distress, and again, it really doesn't matter in some ways which case, as long as we're always confessing and repenting, which we always will need to do, sometimes our distress is our own fault, a consequence of an action we've made. Other times, it's not. Something else. But either way, it's God's grace. Be gracious to me, O Lord. So let's follow the psalmist's example and go to him. David, obviously, some of this psalm comes from his being chased by Saul through the wilderness, having to hide in caves with his mighty men with him, having to deal with so many different things, and different ones of the psalms give us specifically different episodes in his life. But you know what? And so when we read enemies, sometimes we can't exactly relate. But on another hand, we can relate, because we have the world, which is an enemy to us, and to our health and to our life. We have our own flesh, and then we have the devil, who would seek to undo us. And so And so we pray. I'm looking at I want to make sure I don't miss some of the simple things I want to remind you of today. Here in the middle of the psalm, we have kind of the deepest point, the deepest depth. He says, I have been forgotten. Well, hold on. Let's just look at 11 to 13. And some of you may need this today. Some of you may not. If not, then pray for those who do need it. Because of my adversaries, I've become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. There's a sense of hopelessness there. And let's put this in our own words. Is that sometimes this could be you, this could be someone else. And I think many of us, not all of us, but many of us know what it's like to be on either side. You've been going through things, and you need to talk about them. And maybe you've been talking about them a lot. And the person sees you coming, and you know they're thinking, oh no, here he comes again. Right? I mean, we chuckle at it, and we should, because we know we've been on both sides, and yet there's a great distress in that. You know, think about which side of that you're on. Oh, here he comes again. Here she comes again. She's still, can't she? You know, our flesh says, our sinful nature, our, hey, I've got it together part of us says, can't she just get over this? Thank the Lord God doesn't say that to us. You know, that God doesn't say, just get over it. But it can even get worse. We can be at a point, or there could be people where literally we, at a much more a deeper level than this, where someone's in such a state that they're avoided, that we literally avoid each other, or maybe we're the one in the depth of where we are that we want to avoid them rather than them avoiding us. I've been forgotten like one who is dead. That's a difficult place, feeling forgotten. But that is the place where God's people sometimes go. David is the one praying this. We can feel forgotten. But thankfully, there is this little word in the scripture, the word but. B-U-T. But. But I trust in you, O Lord. So the prayer continues. That's the good news. We keep praying. Again, when I get around to Psalm 88 sometime in the future, one day down the road, Lord willing, that's really all that psalmist has is the fact that he's praying. Because at the end of that psalm, he says, my closest friend is darkness. But even if that's the case with you today, he says, but I trust in you. You are my God. Don't overlook the personal pronouns, my God, the God who made all these things, the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, we can say, my God. You can say, my God, my God. My times, your times, our times, right now, are in your hand. Rescue me. Oh Lord, we can go to Him in prayer. And then we can ask for a benediction. You know, we can pray benedictions. Now, in the Presbyterian Church in America, where I'm ordained, our rules say that we have to be ordained first to raise our hands and to stand here and to offer the benediction. And that's why at an ordination, one of the first things that the newly ordained minister gets to do is raise his hands and do this as God's representative for the first time. But these benedictions come from the Scripture, and we can pray them, every single one of us. And so David goes back to that Aaronic blessing. Make your face shine on your servant, verse 16. Then he says, let me not be put to shame. And then he mentions his enemies. Lord, then I would liken this. God can deal with our enemies, and he can deal with them appropriately. And it's okay to ask him to do so. And so we're again reminded, verses 19 and 20, of his goodness. Now let me mention something interesting here. Verse 19 in the middle there, I'll just read the whole thing. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you. You know, it's interesting. The Lord being our refuge or being a rock, what does it say? You are my rock and my fortress. The image of that goes back to Moses, a refuge, they're just talking about a crack in a rock, being laid down in a crack in a rock so that God can preserve us from the storm that comes. You remember Moses found a little cleft in the rock, and he just, I'm imagining him kind of, you know, stepping into that crevice of the rock, and then God covers it in some way. Again, he tells us He covered it so his glory could pass by and it wouldn't overwhelm Moses. It's just a little safe spot, like falling into a ditch while the tornado blows over. That safe spot. But God takes us to safety according to his will. That's prayers for the present. There's also hope for the future. Let me move on again. There's too much here to cover all of it. I pray God will help us touch on what we need to touch on and that he'll write it upon your heart otherwise. So the third thing here, hope for the future. Hope for the future. Finally, after having prayed and acknowledged and remembered, he blesses the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. You've shown steadfast love, that is hesed, your covenant love to me. When it felt like I was cut off, yet you were with me. You saw me even when I couldn't totally experience it, understand it. You were there. And so I want to finish having, I hope, for those who needed to realize we can go and be in the very deep depths of darkness, that God is there. God is there. We have hope for the future. God has heard our pleas for mercy when we've cried to help for him. So a few positive things to close on. First of all, what should we do in light of all this? He says, verse 23, love the Lord, all you his saints. Love him. Love the Lord. If you have a hard time loving him, ask, Lord, help me to love you. And we can love him because he loved us first. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. He preserves the faithful. Be strong and let your heart take courage. This makes me think of Moses passing on the mantle to Joshua, and then Joshua about to lead the people. And God saying to him, be strong and courageous. You have this word with you to go with you into the land. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Don't drum this up yourself. Let your heart have courage in him. Let your heart have courage in him. Knox Chamberlain was, I was able to be in his prayer group when I was in seminary at RTS, which was very special. But not just in our prayer group, but in class, when people shared prayer requests. And by the way, he was helpful to us because we didn't realize when we got to seminary back then, some of us didn't realize that it was okay. It was okay to not be okay. It was okay to say, I'm not okay. And Dr. Chamberlain's wife, Ginger, dealt with deep depression for much of their marriage, and it was the Lord that upheld them, and he kind of helped us to say, it's okay not to be okay. And so we would really share with him prayer requests. And he would pray, Lord, I pray that however much pressure, stress is coming upon these students from without, that you would give an equal and opposite pressure from within to withstand it. And I can remember him praying those prayers in class. And at that moment when it's still kind of new to you, the whole being able to go to seminary and you're just hearing him pray, it just meant something. So remember that. God can from within give us that the amount of pressure we need to withstand the pressures from without, whatever they may be. And so, really, at the end of the day, we pray through our stress. You got to pray. Now, I'm going to mention one last thing, and I'm going to close with this because it takes us to two things with Christ. If you want to, I'm going to turn to Luke 22, and I'm going to finish with this, kind of an example of one of the saints that went before us, but of our Lord as well. And how, although we will never experience something like our Lord, nevertheless, his experience is helpful to us. First, the Lord's words to Simon. In Luke 22:31, and realize this, I've said, pray through our stress. Really. And that's, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. Ooh, what a thing for Jesus to say to Simon. Satan has demanded to have you. How does Jesus say? But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. No, I'm really out of time. I mean, Peter was so, he knew that he was going to make it through the night without denying Jesus, which he did, which Jesus already tells him, I've prayed for you. You're going to come back and strengthen the brothers. But Jesus doesn't pray, and Joe Novenson said, you know, I'm all for prayer, but couldn't you have just maybe kicked Satan through the goalposts of eternity? You know, I'm all for prayer, but wouldn't mind you just doing that. That's what he says. Jesus says, no, I've prayed for you. The devil wants you, Peter, but I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. And that's what he needed. And he would return. And he would become a man that would help lead and begin the church. But Jesus himself also faced stress. Verses 42 and 43. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And for us, we have his Holy Spirit dwelling within us to strengthen us. God doesn't promise an end to our trouble, but he does promise us the strength through him to face it. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, I pray that in the quiet of this moment, you would meet each of these in this room or any joining us by Zoom, or that you would allow, there's so much here before us. I've said so many things. Lord, would you meet us each with the word from you that we need even this morning to bring us comfort, to bring us hope, to draw us to you, and to make us more like Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.